Hey there, Monster Sci-Fi Show fans. This is the Monster. I wanted to take a moment to talk to you about someone that needs help. On previous podcasts, you would hear a gentleman talking about the ESO and the Amazon store. Well, that guy's name is Mike, and Mike is the one who runs the ESO network. So, Friday, today being Sunday, he had to bring his dog, Ripple, to the vet. And they found something really serious, and they were able to have surgery. But the expense of the ICU is running up to $9,000. His wife did put a GoFundMe page, which right now they currently are at over $2,000, but they still need your help. So, if you're a fan of my show, support this GoFundMe page. It would mean a lot to me, and would mean a hell of a lot to Mike and his family. Because if you're an animal lover, you know you'd do anything for your family, and your pets are part of your family. So please, do what you can, donate whatever you can, but share what you know about this GoFundMe page to all your friends on all your social networks. Thank you.
Hey everyone, this amazing ESO Network show is brought to you by our fine sponsor, Amazon.com. Please remember to shop Amazon for all your geeky needs, no matter what time of the year it is. All you need to do is go to ESOpodcast.com/ESO Amazon or click on the Amazon banner on the ESO Network webpage to go to our e-store. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. Okay, that's enough of me babbling for now. Now on with your regular scheduled show.
Something's coming.
Guys.
We've been calling them the Dominators.
That is not the name of a species that comes in peace.
We must exterminate your kind before the scourge of your planet becomes the scourge of ours.
Dominator ships are coming in worldwide.
Barry, we can't do this alone.
I don't plan to.
Oliver?
Green Arrow.
Dig.
Spartan.
White Canary.
Firestorm.
The Atom.
Heatwave.
How did you get the name Heatwave?
I burned my family alive. I like to light things on fire.
Well, that's a colorful backstory.
Oh, things just got so much worse.
You're really good at this time, Barry.
Y'all call for tech support. Oh, no, no, no,
no, no! Oh, I had enough of this.
It's been an honor to know all of you, to fight alongside of you. Now it's up to you to keep our home safe.
Have fun storming the castle.
You gonna use Princess Bride against me?
Here we go.
Hello and welcome again to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast. I am your host, The Monster, back to give you a special 4-episode DC crossover for Heroes vs. Aliens Invasion series. So, right now it's about 6:45 on a Friday morning. I have not seen any of the 4 episodes yet, so what I'm planning to do is watch each one of them today, fingers crossed, and do a quick review of each episode. So you'll hear me play music from each of the shows, as well as like a quick little intro, and then I'll talk about that episode. And then after the 4th episode, I'll go into an overall arc of all the episodes and how well it worked together. So I have not watched any of the episodes. The only thing I do know, that the first night with Supergirl that the ratings were really, really good for Supergirl. So I'm very curious to find out how this all plays out. So I don't know what to expect, but I have not read the comics that came out, I think, back in the 80s, which the original Invasion series took place, so if I'm mistaken, forgive. But again, I just want to record this real quick because I don't want to have any idea what I'm expecting, other than I want to have a good time and I want to really be amazed and be blown away like DC has been doing on the CW for the past couple of years. So, all right, so sit back and I'll be talking about Supergirl.
When I was a child, my planet Krypton was dying. I was sent to Earth to protect my cousin. But my pod got knocked off course, and by the time I got here, my cousin had already grown up and become Superman. I hid who I really was until one day when an accident forced me to reveal myself to the world. To most people, I'm a reporter at Catco Worldwide Media. But in secret, I work with my adoptive sister for the DEO to protect my city from alien life and anyone else that means to cause it harm. I am Supergirl.
All right, so it's now been almost 24 hours. Actually, it's been more than 24 hours since I recorded this podcast section. So, unfortunately, I did not get to see all four episodes of Supergirl, The Flash, Arrow, and The Legends of Tomorrow. I just got to see Supergirl. So, that's okay. It's no rush. I want to do a good show. But nonetheless, having watched the episode for Supergirl, which was called Medusa, overall, I was really disappointed because it really didn't connect anything with the larger story, except throughout this episode, there was the energy portal trying to open up, and until the very end, we find out that it's Cisco and Barry that finally cross over, and Barry asks Kara that he needs help. So, that's how it ends. Now, I was kind of ticked by that because, you know, I'm waiting for the episode to kind of flourish through to kind of give me a good foundation. And it was just a regular episode. And not that it's bad, but again, I'm expecting to be a grander storytelling here. So the only thing that I'm going to give it an okay pass, through the course of the story, Lexa Luthor and her mother, who was working with Cadmus, was trying to create a virus that will kill aliens. And we saw that earlier, in which Hank Henshaw, the now astronaut that was presumed dead, which John Jones inhabits the body, or the likeness of him, is now the cyborg Superman like it was in the comics. So he had planted some kind of lethal gas device in an alien bar that we've seen before and kills a couple of the aliens that are in there. So, is this something that the mother was thinking about in the big picture, that something is coming, such as the invasions of the Dominators, and she needed to create this kind of weapon? Or was it, in a short term, just getting rid of all the aliens that are in National City? So I really want to believe that even though Lexa had pulled a switch on her mom at the very last moment, in which made the gas inert, the mom knew something was coming as she was preparing for this invasion to come. So I'm hoping that is the case. But again, I don't know, because again, from what the looks of it, is that if Barry is coming over from Earth Prime or Earth One, whatever you want to call it, to Kara and get her over, then whatever's happening is not happening there on that Earth. So it's happening on our Earth. So if that's the case, then I'm going to be really pissed because again, you didn't really need to watch this episode in order for you to get jump in for the storytelling for the heroes versus aliens invasion. But I could be wrong. I don't know what to expect. All I know is that this is not going to be a long portion of the Supergirl talk that I was expecting. I really wanted to delve into, you know, great moments and things like that, and this just turned into just a regular, normal, good episode, but not the episode that I was expecting. So, I'm disappointed that this has played out just like that, because, again, I could have just jumped right into the Flash and start with the story that way. So, that's all I'm going to talk about right now, unfortunately, because, again, there's not a whole lot that I want to talk about, because there's nothing here other than the Flash comes over and gets Supergirl to help him. That's it. So, I'm not going to talk anymore about that. So, I'm going to stop the recording. I'm going to now watch the Flash before I go to work. And hopefully, I will be much happier when I see the Flash. So, I'll be back in a moment to talk about the Flash.
My name is Barry Allen, and I am the fastest man alive. To the outside world, I'm an ordinary forensic scientist, but secretly, with the help of my friends at Star Labs, I fight crime and find other metahumans like me. After defeating Zoom and saving the multiverse, I ran back in time and created the alternate timeline, Flashpoint. I restored the timeline to how it was, only to find things weren't as I left them. I brought new threats to our world, and I'm the only one fast enough to stop them. I am the Flash.
All right, so now we are at the beginning of The Flash, which starts out about 10 hours later, and then goes back 10 hours earlier, from the point in which we see The Flash and Arrow hiding out or being attacked, and they don't know what it is, what's going on. And then we get this kind of like laser beam or heat beam that The Flash knows. And they start running, and then they are basically trapped by a mixture of Legends of Tomorrow and Team Arrow being brainwashed. Or at least we don't know initially what's going on, except that they're attacking our guys, the Arrow and the Flash. Now, what a difference an episode makes right off the bat. And I think you really have to have been watching the series, at least from the beginning of this season, to understand what has been going on and what's the impact of Flashpoint Paradox, or the Flashpoint Paradox, because it does play in to later on in the episode about what Barry has done and the consequences from that, and how really things are literally are falling apart because the team is not together because of what Barry had done. Now, in the previous episode of Supergirl, when Cisco and Barry finally meet Kara in her universe, and he introduces Cisco as his friend, and he says, no, I'm more of like a colleague. Play that as scene again in the Flash episode after we have a moment in which Cisco is still really upset about what Barry did, in which, because of the new timeline, his brother had been killed. So, you know, he's trying to put those feelings aside to work for the betterment of the group, and because there's a mission going on. So when he does say that line when he meets Supergirl, it adds a whole new dimension to that comic. Because honestly, it just kind of flew over me that he was still pissed at Barry. And who wouldn't be? So that's going on. And then later on in the episode, when the team all finally gets together, we get to have, you know, this information about Spartan or Diggle, that his child should have been a daughter and not a son. So, and of course, you know, Wally had been at one time, Wally West and Iris were the crime-fighting team, again, from the Flashpoint paradox in the very beginning, were together fighting. But Wally finally comes into his own as far as using his powers, which is finally great to see. And he does have a great moment in helping out Barry and Oliver when they are in a big point in which they needed help, and they had no one else to rely on. The other great thing is seeing everyone being put together. From Legends of Tomorrow, we have Team Arrow, we have Team Flash, and we have Supergirl. So my only quips is, but okay, so Kara up and leaves. I'm sure she left a note for her sister or someone saying, hey, I'm not going to be here for a couple of days. Bye. Or something. But we don't see that. So I'm assuming everything is okay and Mon-El will be recovering, and of course Superman in that universe will kind of oversee things. But again, left out of the lurch about what had happened since then. So Supergirl's in our universe. We have basically everyone there. Thea's back as Speedy. We have Spartan back. But then there's no Curtis. There's no Artemis. There's no Ragman. There's no Wild Dog. So the new team that Arrow had built for the beginning of the season are not present in the Flash episode. And then for Legend of Tomorrow, that team is also missing Commander Steel. So not sure what's going on or how this is going to play out. I'm sure they'll lend itself later on because we still got two more episodes to go. But nonetheless, I was so damn happy what they had shown just for this one episode. Now, of course, I'm talking to you as if you've watched this episode, and I'm assuming you have. That's why you're listening to me talk about this. But one of my favorite moments is that the Flash is trying to lure Supergirl, who has been brainwashed by the Dominators, is racing down to where this device is being hidden, and he is racing, and she is flying, and they're going at it, and he's swerving all her laser beams, and he's running for his life, but it's like he has a plan, and that's what's cool about this, is just seeing how it all worked out. Now, normally, this would have been like, well, that's the only thing I want to see is all the special effects. It's a lot more fun seeing all the people that we've followed for all these years come together like they've done in the past, but now it's just getting much, much bigger. So it's enjoyable to see all this coming together. Now, of course, Supergirl being new is kind of outside the loop, and even she had a great scene with Mick, and, you know, how did he get his name? You know, how he burned his family, he likes to burn things, blah, blah, blah. And then he's like, I'm not going to call you Supergirl because that's stupid. So, again, Mick has become one of my favorite characters, calling her Skirt. But, of course, with the brainwashing incident happening, he calls out Supergirl, do something. And, of course, unfortunately, she can't because she's stuck. So, nonetheless, very good episode. Very happy the way all things are coming together. Again, the payoff, finally, of all these things about the Flashpoint Paradox is filtering through, and it's a lot of repercussions going through all in just one episode. So very happy the way things are going. So now I'm going to wait until hopefully tomorrow or maybe later tonight. I don't know. I want to get to see Arrow and then do the review of Arrow, and again, Legend of Tomorrow after that. So hopefully soon I'll get to do this. But so far, again, very happy with this one episode. Don't know much about the Dominators as to what their game plan is in the end, but we just know they're there. They have been in the past, so they're back again. And at this time, the president was kidnapped and later on was killed. So, oh well, such is the life of the president. If only Trump could have been there. Just saying. All right, so that's enough of me yabbering. I'll get back to you in just a moment with my review of Arrow.
My name is Oliver Queen. After 5 years in hell, I returned home with only one goal, to save my city. Today, I fight that war on two fronts. By day, I lead Star City as its mayor. But by night, I am someone else. I am something else. I am the Green Arrow.
All right, so we're moving now to the Arrow segment of the Heroes versus Aliens Invasion series. So, what was more action-packed and funnier in the Flash episode, we get a different way of continuing the story. We get this whole scenario with Oliver being getting ready to be married to Laura Lance, who we know is the Black Canary, who had died last year by Damian Dark. And basically, there's his mother, there's his father from season one. Basically, everything that he's ever wanted, basically, it's come back. So, basically, this weird alternate version of history for him is perfect for him, as well as other people that have been kidnapped, which I forgot to mention in the Flash episode. It was Ray Palmer, White Canary, I forgot her name, Diggle. We also had Oliver, and of course, Oliver's sister, I forgot her name, Speedy. Jesus. So, everyone is in this tank, or this kind of stasis thing in which they're tapping into their heads about, I guess, what they want to be in, their favorite moment, or things that are going to be explored. So one of the cool aspects about that is that because Oliver was an Arrow, someone else was Arrow, and I love the fact that it turned out to be Diggle. And he was a really, really cool-looking Oliver, quote-unquote, the Arrow, as him. So other people, Ray was in there, okay, which was all right. But I think the most emotional part of all this, having Laurel come back and having Oliver, after a while, realizing this is not what it's supposed to be, that he walks away from all this. And it's not something that I've not seen before. If we go back to Star Trek Generations, the Nexus is this place where you're wrapped up in complete joy, that you don't want to ever leave. And Picard had a hard time leaving there. But he realized that the images and the feelings that he had were for a family that never existed, although in his heart, that's what is always something that he wanted. But it wasn't real. Another scenario that is kind of similar to this Arrow episode, which I had to call Mr. Gene and talk a bit about this because I could not remember it, except that it was a DS9 episode, which is Star Trek Deep Space Nine, the Search Part 2 episode, in which the crew of Enterprise had been kidnapped, but they were being run through a kind of a war game scenario to see what their reactions would be if the Dominion had taken over DS9. So it was a great episode, but it turned out to be that it was nothing more than just a simulation. So again, I've seen this before. Not that it was a bad episode. I really enjoyed everyone coming back, and I'm sorry that we only got to see Tommy, of all people, as like a little ghost image, and not even there. So, I mean, everyone was back, so it was just like, but where's Tommy? Oh, that's what he is. He's the still figure. So that really kind of ticked me off, because of all the people, I really wouldn't want Tommy to be back. But still, it's a great episode, and probably one of the better emotional parts of Arrow that hasn't had that in a very long time. Because, you know, Arrow, Oliver really cuts himself off from being connected to other people, and the death of Laurel really did affect him a great deal. So I was hoping that this would not be, well, Barry learns his lesson, goes back to the past and tries to reset everything, and boom, there's Laurel. Thank God that didn't happen, because I would have really been upset. I'm like, Barry doesn't know enough to learn his lesson, but that didn't happen. So, moving on to the fact that we saw very little parts of the aliens except towards the end, which, again, they look really fantastic for the fact that it's television and it's CGI. they really spent some bucks, but again, they're saving it for, I guess it's going to be the big battle and whatever the big reveal is going to be in Legends of Tomorrow. So, again, I don't know anything about their plans other than the, quote-unquote, the, I guess, machinery was ready or whatever the plan was that Gideon had deciphered from Ray Palmer, who picked up one of the quotes or one of the bits that the aliens were talking about. And they said that's what's happening. Then the aliens are heading off to Earth. So now I'm just going to actually sit back and watch, finally, Legends of Tomorrow, since everyone's pretty much asleep except for my daughter, who was going to be home later. So I'm going to pretty much have this all to myself. So I'm actually going to get it done. I don't have to wait till next week to get it all finished. So, again, a great episode by itself. I just think in the mix of the whole alien invasion series, it's kind of weird that they put this there, because it's, that was the bulk of the story. Not so much about the aliens, but the bulk of the story is Oliver being in this dream state. I mean, Damian Dark, and you had Deathstroke back, and I'm surprised Ra's al Ghul wasn't in there too, so whatever. But in any case, a good episode. But again, we'll see what happens and how they tie it off. So I'm going to take a break and watch Legends of Tomorrow, and I'll be back in a moment.
Time travel is real, and all of history is vulnerable to attack, which is why we must travel through time to stop the spread of these so-called time aberrations and to erase their damage to history. We are a team of outcasts and misfits, so please don't call us heroes. We're legends.
All right, so now moving on to Legends of Tomorrow. Now, I pushed through yesterday. Again, I'm recording this on different days. I've watched The Flash in the morning, I watched Arrow when I got home, and then I watched Legends of Tomorrow again later that night, so yesterday. So I wanted to hold off about thinking about this episode, because for the most part it had to pretty much wrap up the whole storyline and all the characters that have been leading up to this point. Now, my only problem with this is that when we find out the real intent of the Dominators was because of the metahuman threat that they feared, so they were trying to do kind of a preemptive attack against Earth. And doing so, they created this metabomb that would take out basically all the metahumans, but how they went about this was kind of ass backwards. Considering what they had started out with, their game plan was to invade Earth. They had spaceships around the planet, and they also had a ground force, which, if they were planning to do is just drop this bomb, then it really didn't make sense for them to have the ground troops. It didn't make sense to have the spaceships around the world, other than the fact that you see this threat coming. So our heroes are basically fighting them, and for the most part I'm happy with it, because it's fantastic the way they go, you know, all out with the fighting. But then it kind of seeps in about the whole logic of the episode, since I'm trying to make sense of it in my head, and I guess I'm kind of stalling in my head as to trying to be nice about this. But if the aliens were worried about this whole threat about the metahumans, and Barry was kind of like the focal point because of what he has been able to do, and the Dominators are really worried about this, well then why did they wait so long to do this now at this point? And the reason why I bring this up, because if we see this episode and they go, a few of the crew members go back, Commander Steel, Vixen, Mick, Felicity, and Sisko. They all go back into the past, into the 1950s, to see a ground attack with some aliens in which they were attacking a thing in Nevada. Again, I'm blanking out if it's the wrong place, but they were there on a reconnaissance mission to suss out, I guess, whatever threats were there. So that was well over 50 years ago. And then all of a sudden, not that long ago, 4 years ago, you know, the flash happened, and then we had the flash paradox earlier this year. So what did they learn back then as opposed to what they learn now? And I'm trying to put this in my head to make sense. Because the Legends group went back into the past and they wanted to capture one of the aliens to find out what the hell is going on or what this was all about, they inadvertently created this dire need to take out Earth. Because the alien was captured by a group of quote-unquote men in black, and just a side note, my wife was watching this episode, and she was so certain that the guy that we saw, the head of this group, was King Faraday. And I said, all right, if this is King Faraday, I will give you a shout out on my podcast, which you never listened to. But it turns out that, no, it wasn't King Faraday. So she was very disappointed that didn't happen. But whatever the case is, no shout out to you. In the process, the Legends get kind of captured, and with the alien is being tortured, or at least being studied, and they go rescue it. So in doing so, you would think that would have been reason enough for them not to invade, or it's like, you know, we're okay, you know, call it even, Steven. No, Sisko realizes that what he did in the process was exactly what Barry did, and the ripples of those effects, I guess, is what caused the invasion to happen. Alright. In a roundabout way, what I liked about that observation or that point was that Sisko really understood Barry's point and how inadvertently that he thought he was doing the right thing had consequences that build up later on. So hopefully that relationship between Barry and Sisko does get repaired, does get to be mended, but I think that to me was the better story part rather than the climax of the fighting and the bomb dropping and Firestorm rescuing in the last minute, transforming the meta bomb into, I guess, big water puddles or something like that. So it's okay. I mean, it ended the way it did on a high note. I was happy with it. I liked the little Easter egg, which is not really an Easter egg, but it was kind of an inside joke, and I got it, where Ray Palmer looked at Kara and said how she looks like her cousin. That was a cute line, because if you know who Brandon Routh is, he played in Superman Returns. So technically, he's talking about his Supergirl cousin. But I've never seen that. But whatever the case is, it was a cute little nod to at least acknowledge who he is. So maybe one day, who knows, we'll see him in an alternate universe, one of the Earths in the future, that he actually gets to play Superman. That'll be kind of cool. That'll be really cool. All right, so aside from all that, I can't really think of anything else to talk about on this podcast for this episode, other than, again, great climax in fighting. The best part of this story arc, again, is Sisko and his coming to the realization that Barry was not so much, you know, of a douche or a bad guy, you know, for what he did, because he did that himself with one of the Dominators. So I'm going to take a break from this point on, and I'm going to do some research about the comics, if I can find any that's out there, and find out what other people had in reaction to Invasion, and then give my final overall review of the series. All right, so sit back. I'll be right back. All right, so this is going to be the last half of this podcast, in which I'm going to talk about my likes and dislikes overall about the series, and talk about the future at the very end of what's going to happen on the future shows. So if you don't want to know what's going on in the coming episodes, then after I do my likes and dislikes, you can pretty much just stop the podcast there. So, I was looking around online to see what the kind of reviews were going on about the episodes, and I was trying to find one that was complete for all of them. I didn't find too many, because everyone that I found was doing individual episodes as their review. But there was one on the Forbes site that I read every once in a while. It talked about that Invasion is like the best thing that it has going for it. And basically it's an event, a multi-part arc that could be sold as a standalone trade paperback. See special edition DVD. It bleeds comics and breathes camp, which is exactly what we needed this time around. So I'm glad that to hear things like that, because there were lots of great moments throughout this series. And for the most part, I think, considering how much they were really putting all these different characters all together and giving them a much needed screen time and interaction and have these moments that are memorable, it's really a hard thing to put off on the big screen, let alone the small screen. So that in itself, I give them major kudos for the CW and DC for actually getting this done in this fashion. So with that being said, of course, there are actually some things that I just did not like. Let's start off with Supergirl. Right from the beginning, we have the Thanksgiving that Kara is throwing, and Jimmy is with Wynn, and Alex comes in talking about how they wanted to make an announcement during dinner. Jimmy wanted to talk about how he's the Guardian and revealed that to Kara, and Alex wanted to talk to or say that she was gay to her mother, and they were trying to one-up each other, or it's like, who's more important? So I liked it, but then we had like the first of three portals that open up or try to open up during dinner, and it kind of stopped that moment dead in its tracks. Jimmy is never seen again in the rest of the episode. Wynn, who we do see later on in the episode, is helping out to help rescue Mon-El, but doesn't say anything. And Alex, she does get to say or have her moment with her mom to reveal that she's gay, which is not bad, but they just kind of put it off to the side and delayed it throughout the episode. So I was really kind of ticked off that it was kind of like they try to throw us a bone and make it great, and then, no, you don't have it yet. So you'll have to wait until next week or whenever that happens. So the other little thing, and of course this is me just nitpicking, Alex and Supergirl, I'm not sure which one, was holding like a plastic container of food, and they're walking into the DEO, and they're talking to Hank, and it's obvious that it's leftovers Thanksgiving that they wanted to give to him, and they're holding it and they were planning to give it to him, but something else happened in that episode, and then that's it, nothing happens. So did Hank get to eat Thanksgiving dinner leftovers? No, I don't know what happened to the damn tub. What happened to that tub? I want to know. Alright, so moving on to the Flash. The best thing that I liked and the worst thing I liked, was that really Wally West finally comes into his own. He has powers. He does help out, like I said earlier, Flash and Arrow. But then he gets knocked out and he gets injured. But in the beginning of the episode, we notice that he is getting faster. He is much better at what Barry was at the same time in the very beginnings of his power. So why didn't Wally come back later on in the episode? That was kind of like he's one and done. I was really kind of ticked off, and I really would love to have another speedster along the way of that. So moving on to Arrow. A couple of things I did not like. One of them being Wild Dog. They were trying to hack the alien tech that Curtis tried to use his device, and it blew up that piece or whatever. So they had to find something else. And out of the blue, they talked about this woman who I never heard of, and someone by the name of Dr. Laura Washington, I think, had made herself powerful with some stolen tech. So he goes out after her, and, you know, he's using just regular guns, and he's confronting her, and he's talking to her, and then when things go down, he shoots at her, and I don't remember her doing anything to avoid the bullets, but it just seemed as if he shot at point blank and nothing happened to her. So I'm like, well, then what's the point of him doing this? Now, even though Flash and Supergirl, you know, do the tag team effect and really knock Washington out, I thought it was a little strong that Supergirl comes along and just really knocks one into her, flying Washington into, like, the Flash's tentpole and just really knocking her down. I thought that was a bit extreme for someone who barely even got to use her power, so I don't know how powerful she would have been. But I thought, again, that was a bit strong. And the other moment is to kind of criticize is Curtis and Ragman were there, but they didn't do anything. So they're just standing around, and, you know, Curtis did his cornrows for nothing. So again, what's the point? So speaking of which, and I've talked about this before, and I hope you remember this, but seriously, I like Curtis a lot, but he has to do cornrows every time he changes or puts on the Mr. Terrific outfit. Do you know how long it takes to do cornrows? I know I don't have hair, but I know how long it takes. Okay? You cannot do that on a fly and just do it like on the way. And who has the time? So please, someone explain to me, how is this possible that he's able to do this every single time? Okay. And we also have Artemis, who is missing in action, which is okay. We saw in the previous episode that in Arrow that she looks like she's working with Prometheus, and supposedly there was a one line saying that her mom was sick or something like that. I missed it, but I guess that was said. So supposedly we were going to get a big payoff basically with her down the road, but we'll see whatever happens with that. For Legends, the complaint that I have was really towards Vixen. There was this one moment in which Vixen is fighting the Dominators with everyone else, and she channels one of the animals, which is an elephant. Great. I would like to see when she does her charging moment like she did in back in World War II, forget which episode it was, but she's charging through the room and it's like, you know, a locomotive, and it's fantastic. But then the move she does is some kind of kung fu flip, and she hits one of the Dominators in the face, and I'm like, since when do elephants flip like that? Because usually she will channel the animal for its strength or its attributes, and elephants don't do that. So I don't know on what earth elephants do kung fu flips like this. So try to stick with the animal and make it go forward correctly. Not do Kung Fu elephants. You could do Kung Fu panda, just not Kung Fu elephants. All right. So, what did I like? Well, again, I'm going to bypass Supergirl because it was a good episode. I'm not complaining. But again, I want to talk about Invasion. So, but she is going to be part of this. So, the best part in The Flash, to me, with Barry running and Supergirl giving chase, and he's climbing, you know, running up the buildings and dodging the laser beams. I love that whole sequence. That's probably one of my favorite moments in this whole series, is having the two of them go at it. And of course, my other great moment that I just completely lost it, and I saw this in the promo pictures, and I'm like, please tell me that's what it is. But the old Star Labs facilities that everyone's going to be in, it's referred to as a great hall, but nothing more than that. But everyone knows, if you're a fan of the Super Friends and you grew up, you know exactly what that building is. And that is the Great Hall of Justice. So please let that happen one day. But I was just very happy that they gave a nice nod about that for geeks like me who grew up, you know, watching Saturday morning cartoons. And just, I applaud them for putting that in there. So let's move on to Arrow. Felicity. Who does not love Felicity? I mean, what makes her great is her comedic timing. Plus, the one-liners that she throws at is just dead-on perfect. She's light. She's fun to watch. When she was rescuing the couple of guys from the Legends out of the prison, and she's like holding the gun, like, hey, did anyone call tech support? So that's a great line. I love that. Felicity throwing up and not being able to talk after her first ride on the Wave Runner was also a great moment. Again, not to fault her for not being able to talk and throwing up, but again, that's very in keeping with her. And of course, you know, seeing everyone come together and her giving the line, best team up ever. I mean, come on. She's fantastic. Even watching Felicity on that dream sequence in which she's with Ray, and Ray is talking with Sarah, and she kind of like turns around as if she didn't know what to do. She's looking around the room, and then she's like, okay, I'll stop here and I'll look up at that wall. And it's just, there's something very endearing about watching Felicity. And not to be detrimental about looks, but I really like Felicity with glasses. It's all about those glasses, bro. She makes those glasses look great. And I don't like it when she doesn't have glasses on. Not that she's not beautiful, but man, that nerdiness really cranks up when she puts on the glasses, and I'm like, oh, I am there. So, but again, Felicity. Also on my list, Curtis. You know, he had a couple of great lines also. He's very much like Felicity, in which he's very awkward and very dorky. He even did that little C-3PO little moment when he was talking about the device that he just created. And, you know, those are the kind of things that the show really needs, is to have a lot more lightness to counter the darkness like the Arrow does. Arrow does a really good balance where it's a lot less darkness, but a lot more humor is involved into that. But I forgot to mention this, going back to the one thing I disliked, because I just remembered just now. The tech device that Dr. Stein created to put on all the Dominators, and the Flash and Supergirl had to go around the world and put this device on everyone, and then Felicity activated it. Come on. That is so, so stupid. Seriously, you did not have to do that and have to wait for a single device to be activated, because if you activate it before everyone got it, then they'll know what we're doing. And I'm like, God, you got to be kidding me. And then all it is just really to make them annoyed. So basically it's like a shock or a noise or whatever that drives him, you know, nutty. I just really thought that was just too convenient and very clumsy and very lame. So moving back now to the good side. So Legends of Tomorrow. The best thing that I liked was seeing Jackson and Stein talking about, you know, Stein's daughter, in which, you know, she's a time anomaly that they're going to have to kind of keep this as a secret. Now, their relationship since the very beginning has always been kind of like clashing personalities, and it gets really tiring and very irritating, but it has developed to be not so much like a father and son, but it's just more of colleagues and respected colleagues and more of confidants now, which I'm finally happy to see them reach this point. So I'm very happy with kind of that relationship evolving and taking this more mature level, because even though there will be conflict and I have no issues with that, I'm just tired of the bickering and the whining between them. So on this level, you know, when Stein is talking about how he convinced his younger self so he would have a family, you know, Jackson came back saying, "You really took all that message to heart all the way down to Pound Town," in which, you know, Lily, his daughter, was created. So that is a good mix, a good balance, finally, that we've reached between these two. So I cannot talk enough about them. All right, so like I said, now I'm going to talk about the future of what's going to happen. This is just more of what I've read online, and we'll see if they do come true. So from this point on, if you don't want to know what's going to happen, fine. Thank you very much for listening to me talk about all this. I will talk to you again real soon. But if you are still listening to this, let's continue. We're going to talk about Arrow. So a lot of the things that are going to continue, basically, is that Artemis is going to have a big reveal as to who she's talking to. Again, I'm assuming it's Prometheus. Oliver is even more committed considering what has happened to him, because all of the sacrifices, everything he's done to this point, he's now basically refocused, and hopefully that's going to help things in the future. So there is going to be another episode next week, which is called What We Leave Behind, and that will be the hiatus for the winter until January 18th. There was something else here, but that was it for Arrow. So it wasn't too much different, but you know, Oliver does feel different after what he's been through. And who wouldn't have been touched by that or changed by the situation? So, but looking at everything that has been done up to this point, I think that really does help reinvigorate, and hopefully it'll lead into a stronger second half for season 5, because what's going to happen next season, I don't know, but no more island. And that was the other thing I forgot to mention. No more. There was no reference to the island. It was all a dream sequence in the stasis tubes. Nothing but the island. Thank you. Happy about that. All right. So we got the Flash. So what I thought it was kind of interesting is that the reason why Wally's father and Iris were kind of hesitant about Wally really pushing forward with his powers, because there was a kind of not a predication. What's the word? Well, they're thinking that it may lead into dangerous things, and the idea was that eventually that Savitar was going to be him. That Wally is Savitar. Now, I don't know how that will happen, but that will be kind of cool that, you know, here you are, you know, starting off with no powers, winding up being, you know, someone who you mentor, you're going to be friends with, and then wind up being a villain. So if there's going to be something that's going to be a good bit of conflict down the future, and great drama, then you're setting up for a really good interaction. Because again, one of the things that Marvel struggles through and a lot of the movies is the lack of a villain. And Doctor Strange did it correctly, in which at the end of that movie, it was set up to have a recurring villain. But you knew enough of that backstory within that episode. So with here, we have, if that's what's going to be happening, then we got really good history with Wally, because he's been with us now for a season and a half now. So we'll see what happens with that. Now, Legends of Tomorrow, the thing that I talked about Lily, Stein's daughter, that also is going to be playing big into the storyline. And then supposedly Rip Hunter is coming back, and the reason why he was gone for all these episodes is because, not because of money or a contract dispute, it's just he had a prior commitment to do Broadchurch, which is a series with David Tennant, so he had to step away, film that, and then come back. So I'm happy to see him come back. And Captain Cold, Snart, is coming back also. So I'm hoping, at least with Snart, he gets to stay, because Mick really needs a friend. So that one's called The Chicago Way, and that's going to be going on hiatus until January 24th. And if you remember, I talked about it will be moved then to Tuesdays after The Flash. So instead of having the 4 days or the 4 nights, we have 3 nights. It's okay. And let's see what else. So Supergirl, the big thing that I came across is that this is not the last time we're going to see the Dominators. Supposedly, from the comics, from what I read online, was that the Dominators were basically, they had the exact same motivation. They had a problem with the metahumans, in which they were trying to do that first strike motive, like they did in the series. But they had also different aliens with them as part of their army, and one of them was the Thanagarians. So if you mention in the Legends of Tomorrow, Thanagarians were going to be this coming force on that universe, but who knows if we're going to see them in this alternate universe, which they said is Earth 38. So the other clan of aliens that are going with the Dominators are the Daxians. Oh, sorry, Daxamites. The Daxamites are another race that we've encountered on Supergirl. And who's a Daxamite? Mon-El. So they're thinking in this article that I was reading is that because Mon-El was sent in a craft to, they're thinking that he might be there to be observing of what's going on, of what the threats are. And for all we know, he could be part of the Dominators down the road because of the Daxamites, that this is all being a setup. But maybe he'll be conflicted because he's having feelings for Kara. So if that happens, again, you're setting up a good villain or a good enough situation in which you're going to have a great finale. And considering we have the Dominators already, we're going to see them in a different light. They're going to be in a different universe. So this is going to be great. So after all that, those are the four things that are going to happen supposedly in the future with those series. And again, I'm more than happy with the series. I can't complain. I can bitch and whine about all the little things that just drive me nuts. That's what I do. But, you know, I love this. Marvel does great on the big screen, and Netflix is slowly coming together with, you know, we have Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, we have Iron Fist is coming out soon, and then after that we're going to get the Defenders. But DC has been killing it on the small screen for all these years, starting off with Arrow. So I'm excited about what's happening. I want John Constantine to come back on Legends like they said they would on season 2. So we're only getting the start of a much bigger universe, and I'm very happy this is all happening this way, especially for me being a big DC fan and having to take a back seat to Marvel, which, again, I can appreciate Marvel. I love Marvel, but down in my heart, I'm a DC guy. I'm sorry. So, all right. So, that's it. I'm done. This has been a very long and fun podcast, but I'm exhausted after a couple of days of going full at it. So, again, you can follow me on the various social networks. You can email me at the Monster Sci-Fi Show, not the Monster, but monstersci-fi show@gmail.com. So, I don't know what else to say except thank you very much for listening to me. I appreciate your thoughts. Please send me your comments so I can talk about this in a future podcast. So, again, thank you very much for listening to the Monster Sci-Fi Show. Sci-fi, from a certain point of view. Good night.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.